lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride. The traditional seven deadly sins. Within each one of these categories falls every way of falling short of God's will and plan for each of us. Each one of these categories of sin, each one of these categories of turning to the self, reflects a willingness to become one's own God, one's own master, one's own creator, one's own teacher and guide, one's own savior, one's own redeemer. And yet the history of the people of God proclaims to us the truth, the overwhelming truth, the terrifying truth, that we cannot save ourselves, we cannot be our own teacher and guide, we cannot depend upon ourselves, we need God. Each one of these categories of sin, in each one, in each and every one, each and every one of us can see ourselves. Oh, the church loves lust. It loves to work on lust. It loves to point out lust, the desire to lavish upon yourself physical pleasures, pleasures that fall outside God's will for us. Primarily pleasures that fall outside God's will because they end up abusing other people, harming other people, hurting other people, and indeed ourselves and our relationships. Lust. The church loves the focus on it, but it usually just focuses on the flashy stuff. The governors getting caught with their $5,000 tricks. That's what the media likes to look at. The preachers getting caught with their literal pants down. No, my friends. That's the racy stuff, and yes, those things are included in that line item, but lust is far more pernicious than this. Lust works its way into our everyday living, telling us that I'm not lust, it won't hurt. Affairs usually begin that way. You don't go out looking for an affair. It usually hits you between the eyes. Or so I'm told. Lust. Gluttony. There are many ways to be gluttonous. My favorite way is at a Mexican buffet. It's the only sin the church will let preachers indulge in. There are many ways to be gluttonous. My favorite way is the person who indulges not in too much, but in finickiness. Gluttony is not so much the gorging of the gut as it is allowing food to become your master. That actually points a finger back then to lust, because lust, its seriousness is in that you allow physical pleasures, sexual physical pleasures, to become your master. Greed. Greed works its way into every fiber of your being, too. What you have is not enough. You've got to have more, more, more. Oh, my friends, greed then reflects back and points a finger back upon the gluttony, the desire for more, even if it's the more of the precise little bit that you want, or more in the sexual appetites that fall outside of God's will for us. Sloth. That's a good one. An alternate translation for that is laziness in every aspect of your living. Desiring just to sit back and do nothing. It's also known as the couch potato sin. And I don't know about you, but that's one of my favorite ones right there. I mean, when you come down on it, you know, the church lets me be gluttonous, and I could easily be slothful in body, in home, in practices. Sloth is not. If lust, gluttony, and greed are thinking too greatly of yourself and making yourself the center and the focus of your life, sloth is totally ignoring the care for the self that God calls us to have. Wrath, vicious anger. Wrath results in violence, hurtful words and actions, danger and pain against others to achieve your own will. Envy. More sins are generated by envy than any other I can think of. Lust and gluttony and greed all come straight out of envy. Sloth is generated by envy when you realize you can't get it. Wrath is generated by envy when you realize you can't get it and you get angry about it. And then there's pride. And of all the seven deadly sins, pride is probably the most pernicious. It wiggles its way through every fiber and every aspect and every breath that you take. Look at me. I can be my own boss, my own master, my own God. Each one of these traditional sins sits behind every strike of the hammer on the nails that the Roman soldiers drove through the wrists and feet of Jesus Christ our Lord. The debate over who crucified Jesus has echoed down the centuries from the very first, with the finger of blame being pointed at Jewish leaders, Jewish people, Roman leaders, Roman people, Roman soldiers, Roman governors. Usually people point the finger in other directions, but each one of these categories of sin tells us that the finger should be pointed back at us. Who crucified Jesus? We crucified Jesus. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, you were. Each and every one of us. We were there. We crucified our Lord. I was struck today by the reading from Job. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer lives. The Redeemer that we need to overcome each one of these categories of sin, each one of these places in our lives where we fall short of the glory of God, every place where we miss the mark of God's will for us, in every single instance of our lives when we fall short of the glory of God, we need to be able to say with Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. Even those Roman soldiers who drove the nails needed to be able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. We go through the season of Lent preparing to see Christ offered up for us. We go through the season of Lent preparing to witness our Redeemer. To be redeemed means to be bought, delivered. We go every day through Lent preparing to see our buyer, our deliverer, standing in our place, taking these seven areas and paying for them, so that we can then receive not just the forgiveness that comes from the cross, but the grace that we need to overcome these areas. Sin in its very essence is falling short of God's will for us, not living the way God calls us to live, being or trying to be or thinking we can be our own God. It is self-centeredness. It is idolatry. It is self-hatred. It is vicious anger. It is murder. It is exclusion. It is impatience. It is intolerance. It is closed-mindedness. It is stealing. It is lying. It is slander. It is refusing to forgive. It is violence in word or deed. It is substance abuse. It is every kind of personal, spiritual, emotional, physical abuse. It is falling short of God's will for us. The difficult news is there's nothing that you and I can do about it. The good news is for us, there was something that Jesus could do about it. And he did. He stood in our place and took the nails for each of us. Our response is simple. To say thank you. To ask for the grace, the unearned favor, the love of God. To turn away from sin. Turn towards the life that God has for us. The calling that God has for us. The path of service that God has for us. The relationships that God has for us. To turn towards Christ and walk in faith. That's all we can do. Turn away from ourselves and turn towards Christ our Savior. I invite you tonight, sitting right where you are, to invite God to search out in your heart one place, just one place, where you have been saying to God, keep out. I want to keep this one for myself. Let me keep this sin. Let me keep this element. Let me keep this way, this desire, this want, this need, this lust, this greed for myself. Ask God's Holy Spirit to search out your heart and find just one place that you have been telling God keep out, and invite God in to mold and transform and remove whatever it is that you are trying to keep a hold of. For some of us, it's deep-seated needs, wants, and desires that are not good for us. For others, it may be an inability to forgive, unwillingness to forgive and let go of wrongs done and hurtful pains. Notice I didn't say forget, just simply forgive. For others, it may be a difficulty in asking for forgiveness. For some, it may be a pain and an anger at God, God's self. Why did you do this? Whatever it may be, God's big enough to take it and to remove it. God's loving, powerful grace is big enough to take it away. Seated right there, I invite you, as you hear now the story of our Lord's crucifixion and death read again, I invite you to ask God to take it out of your life. Whatever that might be, take it out. Relieve you from it. Unshackle you from its binding presence in your life. Each one of us may have a very different place. In fact, I say it's probably true. Whatever it may be, God's grace is big enough to take it away.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.